Hey, welcome everybody to Nate Express Podcast. I have got my good friend, Awais Butt, and I'm really excited to have him. He is one of the great speakers at DE, draws a big crowd. I'm excited to have him today. And we graduated together. We went through some trials in life together, and I want to welcome Awais Butt. Welcome to the Nate Express Podcast.
Thanks, hey, love you, man.
Love you
good
too,
to see you, brother.
I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you.
You have a successful practice, and where are you? You're in Georgia, right?
Yeah, we are about 20 minutes west of Atlanta, so right out of the city, one of the suburbs.
Okay. And, you know, you've gone through, we've all been going through this, is this the corona stuff, right? How have you seen practice? How have you things going? What have you been doing to just get through this junk?
Right, so the one thing I think just most importantly, surrounding myself with the right people that are putting the right stuff in my head, you know, so like, man, it's easy to find somebody to have a pretty party with you. So I can definitely even look through a list of people and see who wants to, you know, talk about the doom and gloom stuff. But I try to focus on people that are seeing the positive, you know, that are trying to work through this. So surrounding myself, who I let inside my own head, you know, the voices I'm hearing. You know, being very careful of who that is and, you know, where they're coming from. So definitely many different things, but I think that's the big one is, you know, who are you renting your headspace to, you know, and I'm just careful to talk to certain people because, you know, certain people are going to look at the same situation and have different, you know, different experiences. I equate it to being on an airplane. When I used to get on a plane as a young adult or even as a student, you know, a baby crying was annoying to me. And now that I'm a father and gone through it myself, now I baby crying and I just feel bad, you know, like, aw, you know, so.
You don't want to adjust them, right?
Right. So it's like at all the situation, the outside situation is the same. It's still an annoying baby crying. It's just what's going on in my head, you know, and at one point in life that was annoying. And at this point it's beautiful. So what changed? And it's me. So. Going back to the, you know, being careful what's going on between my ears and just protecting my headspace is, you know, is helping me along.
I mean, that's tremendous. That's a really important thing. At one point, I cleaned up my Facebook feed with anybody that was negative. I got rid of them years ago, really. And now everybody, there's so much of just fear, anguish, pain, fighting. That I've had to give a lot of that up. I don't want to log on anymore. And because of that headspace, it's a direct feed. So that's such an important thing. And that's for students, for anybody, right?
Yeah. And John, like you and, you and me went through this thing with accreditation and, you know, you remember it was 80% of the school, you know, so many people were all negative. And I think that's where you and I and some of our other friends got close and we bonded because we wanted to focus on the positive.
Yep.
And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I think we came out successful because we surrounded ourselves with the right people. I mean, there was definitely a crowd that was just boo-hooing everything. You know, everything was all doom and gloom. And you remember all that.
I do.
And even in classrooms, you know, people were just, you know, they were just trying to. And there's nothing wrong with looking at all sides of the situation. You don't want to be surprised. You want to know what's coming. And, you know, there was always a plan B and a plan C for us, too. But we focused on at that point. Present time consciousness, we wanted to focus on the positive and just get beat up with the negative. So, I mean, that experience that you and me shared during our college years, and for those that don't know, just kind of do a little bit of background there. When we were going to chiropractic school, politics got in the way and they were trying to threaten to take our accreditation away, which basically meant that all the schooling that we have done, the credits could have just kind of vanished, right? And all that we have done, all we worked hard for, could have just gone away. And there was definitely, you know, a part of the population that was like, you know, hey, this is all bad. And just, you know, again, you know, just focusing on the negative. And myself, Haig, a group of us, you know, we wanted to focus on the positive. And I think we came out victorious. I think the history shows it that, you know, we were on the right side.
I think that's absolutely true. And I just had Wade Port on.
I saw that. It was a great podcast.
And, you know, that's the same thing. Wade. We were I love Wade. And, you know, we became more homogenous. And I think, you know, what was the saying we used? The steel sharpens the knife or something like that. And I feel we became stronger. We became more together. We started training together. We started talking and practicing doing our talks, adjusting each other, and spending that time in growth as a chiropractor and as a human being. And I think a lot of this, I see people doing that, and they're joining podcasts, and they're doing online learning, and it's not optimal, but it's what you have. And, you know, I talked to a student the other day, and he said, every single day there's something that a chiropractor or a chiropractic group is giving to us so we can be better when it's over. And I thought, that is a really great thing to hear. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, we had to go out and find these resources. It's amazing that all these things are so accessible now.
Yep, it is. That is. It's just amazing. It's at our fingertips. So have you stayed open through this? Have you changed any hours? Has anything changed for you right now? Or
so state of Georgia, we are considered essential. And so, you know, we've stayed open the whole time. We want to keep serving our people. So, we want to be that beacon of light, that they can come to and find some normalcy still, you know?
Right.
We've stayed open. We've always done a good job of being sanitary and taking the right precautions.
Of course.
So that's been a great, compliment from even our previous patients. Like, hey, you guys have always been on the ball with this one. So, there wasn't a major shift in our office procedures and stuff. Just, some of this stuff is so common sense. It's almost, it blows my mind. It's like, you didn't know any better,
Right.
Patient-wise, there is, the fear is affecting a lot of people, and I get that. And we just want to be there for them. So if they need us, we're here. If they're concerned, and we will make precautions for them if they want to, be seen outside when our regular patients are there. So we'll do what we need to do to serve our patients. I mean, that's always been, whatever it takes, we're here to help you, and that we want to stay true to that. But we've always, even with our patients. From day one, our truth is the same. Like, if you're a healthy nervous system, a healthy spine is a healthy body. So, this is not like we need to make a change in our trajectory. We've always been heading towards, the right direction. So patient base is down. There's no doubt about it. There's less people showing up. But still, last Friday we had a huge day. And, even yesterday, people are referring and new people are coming in. So there is a little bit of a down, but otherwise moving right along.
And that's, that's your headspace, and that's absolutely perfect. And, when we're thinking in growth and we're thinking in potential, we're thinking in service, right? Serving the people. I had people, a woman came in yesterday. She works in the hospital, which they're laying off people at our hospital here. But,
right. Here too.
And, it's tough for them. There are multiple reasons for it. They want to have fewer staff for possible infection. I'm assuming a lot of it, because I don't even ask about it, that there are fewer people coming in, but that's not for me to judge. We're in it.
Right.
We have to move forward, right?
Yeah.
And when people ask me about political stuff, what do you think about this? I said, my personal views are not what's important here. What I'm here is to care for you, to help you get stronger, for you to be adjusted and be subluxation free. And they love that, And yesterday I had a woman hug me. She was crying. She said, thank you for being sane.
Right.
And I thought, I was like, wow, you don't really know me.
Yeah, today that's a great compliment.
But just with all the insanity, having a safe place where people are, they're going to get, it's the normalcy in life. I'm going to get tuned up. I'm going to get adjusted, check my subluxations. And I have to step back into this weird world, right? So, just having that space is important. But a lot of this, I think we've gotten from our mentors and what we've been taught, that a lot of this outside world is fictitious. That's what Sigafoos used to teach us.
Right.
When the economy is dropping, that's the outside world. You're inside, you have to protect. That's what's the real world, is the way I look at it.
And even mentioning the mentors, I think one of our favorite things is, about the lighthouse, how in the middle of the storm, the lighthouse is the most solid thing that, out of the boats and things like that, they're looking upon the lighthouse to be, that normalcy that, okay, that's my direction. That's what my headspace is, that we want to be the lighthouse in the storm, we're solid, we're grounded, this is where we are. And you can head our way and, find a safe home. So that, you know, just like you said, our, you know, these things have been taught to us. I'm so glad that we've surrounded ourselves with the right people. So these things are just not that something we need to think about. They're already ingrained in here. So when the time comes, you know, another example is when we were being taught CPR in school, and many of us were like, you know, hey, you know, like, and they were telling us, once you learn this, when it's time, it'll automatically kick out. And, you know, I've had to use that that knowledge a couple of times. And even I was amazed. I'm like, I didn't even know that was sitting inside my head, but it was ingrained in here. So when it was time to use it, you know, it just came out and I did what I had to do.
It's funny that you mentioned that. The last day of our first aid and safety class, I think is what it was called, a car flipped right in front of me on 75. And wow. All the traffic, I had to get out and actually do some of what I just learned. We had just finished the class and it happened to me that day.
Yeah.
And, you know, the same thing with all this. We're weathering the storm. And who takes the biggest, the front brunt of the storm is that lighthouse. It's at the front line. It's right. The biggest waves and the hardest hit from the wind or whatever. And you know what? Sometimes I've had some people tell me, I had texts and emails saying, how dare you, you shouldn't be open. And I said, you know, we are here to care for people. We're helping people. If we want to look at it in a sense, giving relief to the emergency room.
Right.
Helping the people that are working in the emergency rooms that are working hard and so right. on. And, you know, anything that we can do to make life a little more at ease, my friend Pasquale would say, helping people live a little more at ease is beautiful. And those subluxations are really dimming the light in a lot of people right now, and they are stressed. They are stressed out.
Yeah, it's no doubt about it. I mean, even, you know, just there's so much information coming from everywhere. And by the way, the thing you're talking about, the emergency room, I had a patient of mine that came in last week, and we haven't seen him in a few years, and they had an issue. And, you know, the spouse thought it was better to just go to the hospital. And 5 hours later, we're still waiting to get some help. And, you know, she calls our office, and within 30 minutes, she's in our office and getting treated, you know, and within about an hour, she's feeling better already. So, you know, there is no doubt about it. There is, you know, I hope the world wakes up to how essential what we do is for this community. I know our patients get it because they tell other people, and that's how our office has grown. But, you know, I'm hoping an awakening that takes place in our community about how essential what we chiropractors do is for the community.
And, you know, looking at it in a perspective of a better world, you know, we're helping the community live better, be better. And if we were just focused on the symptoms or musculoskeletal stuff that some groups try and pigeonhole us, then all those other things of, I had a mom, she told me, she's just, you know, my kids have been stressing me out, all those things. If I hadn't been haven't been getting adjusted, that, you know, it would have been a lot harder for me. And I thought, wow, you know, that's a big deal. And people know what I'm talking about. If they're doing homeschooling right now and they're not used to it, and having their kids and their husband or wife home together all the time, there are some more stresses. And just really be having the body be able to neurologically be handle those stresses more effectively, right? If we look at it in that sense.
That's really, you know, what we talk about, just being able to adapt to the situation. And, you know, there's no way we're going to be able to control the situation. I mean, 2 months ago, who knew that the world was going to change this fast? You know, it's like, you know, how do you even prepare for this? And, you know, environments are going to change and things are going to happen. And it's really, you know, who's the person who's going to be able to adapt to it? And again, that's what we've educated our patients on, that, you know, it's not the environment, it's your inside. If we can help you adapt better to the environment, you're ahead of everybody else with it.
Absolutely. The new normal, we all hear that term now. What do you think in your mind? Now, this is a little bit of politics. What do you think, how is that going to affect practices now? I mean, like you're saying, you've already had precautions involved in line. Do you think we're going to go back to, you know, sort of the way things were, or are there going to be permanent changes for ourselves in the world?
Well, you know, in the past, whenever you look at something that takes place drastic, you know, I think for a little while, it's not going to go back to normal. You know, there's even, you know, the whole social distancing and, you know, all that stuff, I think it's definitely going to take a place in our community. That's something I think we all can see, that the paranoia is big enough at this point that it's hard to just let it go this fast. Yeah. I could see over the years, as people see that it didn't make much of a difference going through all these things, that hopefully it does come back to it. Like the life we were living before wasn't so drastically bad that we had to completely change everything.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping that happens because, you know, as people, you know, just even empirically, we're tribal people. I mean, you know, we survive and thrive in groups. This individual being on your own and being separated, I mean, that's not us. And I think, hey, you even talked about the research study that was done earlier in the 19th century where doctors were talking about, you know, newborn babies, not touching them, leaving the newborn's baby alone. And I know I'm going on a little tangent here and, you know, a lot of our listeners will have to do their own homework on it. But at one point when they changed that policy of not touching the baby to, you know, we need to hold on to the babies, the mortality rate drastically changed. So, you know, as people, we are tribal people. We need community. We're not isolationists. You know, it's not what humans are meant to be. So I see there, you know, I think there's going to be a inside need for this thing. So in the immediate, I see it where people are going to, you know, social distancing and all that. I get it. But in the long run, I really hope that people realize that, hey, the way we were living before, shaking hands and even hugging people and all that stuff, you know, that's still okay to do that. Yeah. And you'd be amazed, you know, like, I always put out a hand. If somebody wants to shake it, they're welcome to. If not, I totally get it. You know, I'm kind of over it, that thing. And you'd be amazed how many people are they're just so glad to just shake your hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, wow, you know, you can just tell there's a human need for that physical touch.
Oh, man.
So, you know, short answer, immediately, paranoia is very high right now. So everybody's, you know, especially the people that are, you know, not sure about things anyway, they're even more scared. In the long run, I think it's going to come back to where we are again, you know, doing where we were before. I am in favor of a cleaner environment, you know, your body has to be healthy. I mean, that's the only way to fight off disease. But if you're not surrounding yourself with, you know, nasty things, that's a good thing too. So I'm okay with that. So a little cleanliness doesn't bother me. But I mean, I think as humans, you know, we need that togetherness. So,
you know, that is part of human nature. It's, you know, people that want to get hugged, I see that apprehension that I've been hugged in the office before. I keep using examples, but I had a woman, her husband had passed, and her mother had also passed within, you know, a month of each other, right at the beginning of this thing. And I said, you know, I don't know how you feel. I'm open to give you a hug. I really feel like you just need a hug. And, you know, and she was, you know, fully protected in herself. And she said, I need a hug so badly. And you know, could just the adjustment was important for her. And that time I was adjusting people outside. And we had tents set up outside. And
adapting to the situation.
Adapting to the situation. One thing it did was it took a lot more out of me. And when I was done at the end of the day, I was actually just done, just changing processes.
Yes.
But giving her that hug was equally, maybe even more powerful than her adjustment, I have to say. That the contact that she had been missing, and her life had just had a huge shift. The adapting to the practice now too, we had open adjusting before. And I feel like I made a storage room now, an adjusting room. So we added an adjusting room so we can have, you know, people have at least their distance from room to room. And we can see volume again, because that was what I was worried about. How am I going to be able to see volume now and be able to do the thing that, or care for enough people? And we added another adjusting room. I just had to adapt. And for the chiropractor, for me, it takes a little bit more out of me. Now I'm into the cycle. I know my processes now. It gets a little bit easier, and each day it just gets easier and easier because my body's able to handle it, my emotionally and physically.
Right. And then, you know, that's basically just, you know, creating these habits again. I'll tell you, just kind of going back to what you were saying before, even with the hugging people, you know, we have a certain authority in our community. So people are looking upon us to a certain degree, you know. So even like on my daily life, I do have that little voice in my head that, you know, I am representing something, and I need to make sure that, you know, when people see that, that's properly represented. So, you know, just reaching out for a handshake or a hug. I mean, you know, you are, when you're looked upon as an authority and you're able to do that, you know, it kind of, hopefully it kind of helps them realize even a little bit like, oh, okay, it's okay to do these things, you know? Like, I know the media has blasted it out of my head that even, you know, if I'm 20 feet in front of a guy, I'm going to get, I die from it. So I know the paranoia just keeps getting bigger and bigger. But the fact that an authority position, like, you know, Dr. Haig is doing these things, it might be okay. So, you know, I think I can, you know, just commend you for doing that, because you're part of bringing that normalcy back, you know, as opposed to just adding to the paranoia.
Well, and that's, you know, also honoring their space.
Right.
Now asking permission, really, right? You know, that's such an important thing, is you setting ourselves as the authority. We are, and we're looked upon that way, held to a higher standard. The other thing is how we're promoting ourselves in the social world.
Yeah.
And I have pulled back on doing really anything that's really very political or what have you, more of everything's going to be okay, you're going to do well, get adjusted, and keeping a positive tone in our social contact and social media. I feel right now everything that we're doing in our practices is marketing for, A, when you want to open again, or really things really need to get back in action, because financially a lot of practices and people and entrepreneurs and everyone has looking at things in a financial way, maybe with fear. So, you know, in marketing wise, have you done anything or plan to do anything for growth now once things sort of settle down?
So, you know, our marketing always, I'm not a big coupon guy. So, you know, it's not, so we don't advertise a lot of deals. We do, you know, most of our patients are coming from referrals, and it's just not referrals from our patients, but referrals from other healthcare providers. So we are just making sure we're reaching out to all the people that, you know, have worked with us in the past, and, you know, making sure that we're staying in contact. And if they need anything in any way, we want to extend our hand to help them. We've always just been serving out of the community. My mentors, which are the same as yours mentors, they've told me that every time there's some kind of a situation, the solution really is to keep serving.
Right.
So that's my go-to, you know, so, okay, all this stuff is happening. What do we do? Well, the answer is simple, go serve. And so that's, you know, we serve the people in our government, the local city, you know, we're not that far away from our police station. So finding ways of serving our community, you know, just staying in that humble servant mindset. We just have a little bit more time, so we're doing more of that. But, you know, it's really the seeds that we planted over the years. And it's not an overnight thing that we've done in our office. I mean, these are relationships that we've built over the years.
Right.
And those relationships are still there. You know, I was talking to somebody else about how their practice is down. I'm like, well, these people didn't leave because they're mad at you. They're just, you know, this paranoia has affected them. And once this thing starts to dissipate, they're going to come right back. So, you know, the dip you're seeing is only temporary, just because, you know, what's going on in the environment. It's like, it's not like these people don't believe what you told them, or don't trust chiropractic to help them. They're just, you know, this thing came in and really took us for a whirlwind. And, you know, as they calm down, and it's happening already. We have every day, we have people that are like, oh, I know I was worried about this thing, but I want to come back. I just enjoyed life better when I was getting adjusted.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have so many people every day. We have people that we haven't seen in a couple months, since the whole COVID-19 started to get popularized, that are coming back. So, you know, we just stay to our truth. You know, I know it's not as exciting as some of the other, my colleagues are putting on Facebook about, you know, what advertisements and, you know, coupons and all that stuff. I know what we're doing might not sound exciting like that way, but this is solid marketing, and this is all relationship stuff. And, you know, like being out in our community, serving our community, being looked upon in our community as being that person who serves and, you know, gives back. Those are things we have always done. So if anything, just with more time, we're doing more of it. But, you know, I'm not big into some of the marketing tricks that sadly some of our profession is handing out there. I just don't think it's a good thing about it. You know, I know we all want to seize opportunity when we seize it, when we see it. But at the same time, there's got to be some ethics in there too.
And devaluing ourselves with coupons and those things, and anyone, you know, people really aren't coming in because of your coupon. They're coming in for you and what they know is what they need for themselves. And they're coming because they know they're getting loved and cared about. That caring, I think, is the most important thing. And they know they're not there just as a coupon or a number or what have you. And that's that energy ripples out through communities. Absolutely.
Right. I mean, you know, like I know, especially if you're starting out, then it might be a different situation and you're trying to get your name out there. And I totally get that. But, you know, in the long run, you realize that people that are looking for a deal, they're not really, you know, it's like maybe you don't want them in the practice, you know. And you know, again, nothing wrong with if that's the route you'll see. But in the long run, you realize the people that, you know, stay with you and the people that you've built relationships with, you know, it was because of what you did and how you made them feel, not because you saved them $20 off their visit.
And, you know, that the other thing, you know, I just want to add a little bit of that. The social media should really be in keeping that energy of the relationships you've already gained through your time in practice. And I think that's what we do, is keeping our, like, hey, we're working towards keeping open and doing all these different things. These are some things you can do for yourself. That's how we use social media, of really staying in, you know, in contact with people. And you know,
that's great. We've done that too. That's great stuff.
Yeah. And that we're not going anywhere. I'm not going to disappear. We are rock solid. And when you said about, you know, serving, and, you know, I've had some, you know, when people come in and complaining or all these things, the outside world comes in. I've had moments like, wow, it just zap your energy. And exactly what you said, I can hear the voices, just serve through it, just serve through it, just serve through it, just serve through it. And it's like getting through the rough waters, and then you're on the beach again. Okay, I'm ready to serve someone else. Now I'm clear. I can leave that junk outside. I'm not bringing it into the next person I'm caring for. And I'm back rock solid again. But I've had, you know, we've had our mentors repeat those things, just serve through it, just serve through it. Because as a chiropractor or any person, it's impossible right now to seal ourselves off unless you're all alone from the stuff from the outside.
Right, it's you can't grounded. Avoid it. Right. Yeah, you can't avoid it. It's everywhere.
Are you doing anything to clear you out? Any meditations or prayers or anything that you do as your normal practice that maybe you would like to share with some other people?
So, you know, I do have a morning routine of clearing my head, you know, like waking up in the morning. I want all my, you know, because it's, you know, it's all, when you wake up in the morning, as soon as, you know, there's all this negative stuff that's kind of coming into you. So I try to reset myself as soon as possible. So we do have a morning routine. It does include, like, you know, a prayer, something positive. And, you know, I just want my first few minutes to be, you know, kind of moving towards a positive direction. Because, you know, the first thing I want to do is look at my phone and, you know, sadly, a lot of the stuff on my phone is not going to, you know, be uplifting. You know, a lot of it is going to be all the doom and gloom stuff just being doing. So, you know, not watching the news. Now, I want to know what's happening in my community. I just don't want to be inundated with it.
Yep.
So I'm okay to, you know, read a news article here and there, but I don't want to spend hours just, you know, talking about the same thing over and over and over again. If that's going to happen, I'd rather be something positive than negative.
Absolutely.
You know, just because, I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, people even ask me, like, hey, you think I should stop eating this or stop eating that? And many times, you know, you can definitely go to a specialist to get that checked out. But a simple way of doing it is put that in your body and see how you feel after a few hours. Mm-hmm. You know, the same thing with the information. Sit in front of that TV, watch that news, and, you know, even try to self-check yourself a few hours later. How do you feel? You know, are you feeling more beat up and less energetic? Or are you feeling more excited and, you know, more happy or positive?
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's bringing you in the wrong direction, that's not a food you should be eating, maybe, or that's not a news you should be watching, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, I know it's sometimes it's too simple of a way to go about it, but these things, you know, you yourself are the example. You know, you can feel it. Hey, this is good for me, or this is not.
Yeah, keep it simple, sweetheart, right?
Yeah. Yeah, sweetheart. I heard a different word, but sweetheart
works. I know. I switched it.
Yeah,
but, you know, the that's the thing is, you know, people ask the same type of thing in the office. And I do this relatively same thing. You know the answer to that.
Right.
You know you shouldn't be eating a box of donuts. Okay. Yeah. one donut, you enjoy it. My kids had their first donuts. They're 3 and 5. They had the first donuts yesterday. Okay.
Wow.
And I was excited.
How long before things calmed down in your house? How long did it take for kids to calm down after that?
They're still cuckoo right now from it.
I believe it.
But you know, people know instinctively. They just like you said, you know, they're looking at for us for for input because they trust you, and say, you know what's right for yourself. I want you to start believing in yourself. And, you know, when you are in your saddest moment, or if something is not honoring for you, take a moment and just be quiet and maybe just change the situation the best you can. If it's a conversation, change the conversation. If it's the TV channel, change the channel. If it's a right. plate in front of you, I don't care if you waste food that's not honoring, throw it in the trash, right? It's not food. It really is garbage. So yeah. garbage in, garbage out.
I mean, these simple truths are just so, you know, they always work. That's what the best part about them is. You know, if it's a truth, you know, it's not going to change. It's going to be the same no matter what the situation is.
Absolutely. For just to give some people what we do in the morning is we read positive books. We read Proverbs, which are teachings from King Solomon in the morning. And then we also read some Dr. Sid's book. And I just posted a quote that we put on our blackboard.
Yeah, I saw that. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to be the rabbit or the lion, really, you know, do as the lion tamer does. And be your authority for yourself, your family, and your community. And for ourselves, really, you know, we do that every morning with our staff. And now I think it's even more important. And then we invite, if practice members or people want to come in and join us, they do. We've had an ebb and flow of that through the years. I have gotten so much more lately out of that, and I've gotten a lot out of it, so much more lately out of it, because it's the shield of the from the negative, right? And however we can build those things up in our strength, just even sitting up straight, even just bringing ourselves into a positive mindset, speaking the words or moving out of a conversation that might be negative is very powerful for people. And because we have students, we have entrepreneurs, we have chiropractors, and we have lay people listening to this. And so a lot of this stuff is very, I think it's important for everyone, no matter what we do in life, you know. And so I really appreciate your input. I thank you for that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's huge stuff what you're talking about. A good football analogy is, you know, everybody wants to play on Sunday, but who wants to show up Monday and practice, you know? And if you want to have a big positive game on Sunday, you better be there Monday practicing. So all these things that we're talking about, you know, it gets you ready for that big game. So, you know, your mindset is right. You're physically, you're right. So, you know, this stuff is so huge. It's amazing how many people just kind of let it go by the wayside. But this is the Monday practice that's going to help you score the touchdown on Sunday, just to stick with that football analogy. So, you know, it's crucial if the takeaway from our whole conversation is only, you know, like take some time to put these positive things and, you know, create this shield around you. I think it's priceless information.
Yeah. I'm going to give a shameless plug for some of my meditations that I have on YouTube that we record in the morning. I'm going to post one today about this is really just bringing in abundance. And visualizing that abundance coming to you. If you have a dress shop or a sandwich shop or a chiropractic office or you're a stay-at-home parent, just seeing those things coming to us. And, you know, our mentors have said in the past, and I remember it so distinctly, is, you know, I visualize more checks coming to me than bills. And if we're scared and worried about the bills, our energy is in the bills. And we're going to see more of that. So putting our energy towards the abundance coming to us and fewer bills, people think, oh, that doesn't make sense. It works. It really, really works.
Right. And I mean, you know, let me plug you, Haig. You know, Haig just didn't wake up yesterday morning and decided to do this. You've been doing this for over a decade. So the results that are there, you know, it's like, hey, I've done this and here's the results. So here's a full formula for you. So, you know, people listening, I'll plug you too. You know, listen to what he's saying, because you know, you got an abundant life, you got an abundant practice, you got an abundant family. So, you know, it's not like just up in the air where you just thought this was a good idea because you read it the other day. This is something that you've done for the years. So your wisdom that you're sharing has been based on decades and decades of being a servant and, you know, just being 100% all into doing this thing. And that's where it's brought you to where you are. So, you know, when you stand up and say, hey, I did this and it got me that, you know, it's true. It's right there. So absolutely. People should be going and doing that stuff.
And the time is right now. You know, we've put in the energy. We graduated together. We've been doing this while we were in school and so on. if you are new to this, start now.
Absolutely.
Start building that bridge, start building that road right now. It's not too late. Let's make that clear, right?
Yeah, one of our favorite stories I think we both shared is one of BJ's stories about That Something. And, you know, a crucial, I mean, there's a lot of positives. If you haven't read that story, I definitely ask. It's called That Something. It's volume 18 in one of the green books. But at the end of the story, there's a part where, you know, the guy is explaining how anything is possible if your mindset is right. But you have one naysayer that's like, well, you know, I'm too late. It's too late for me now. There's no way I can do all this. And, you know, and the main character in the story is like, you know, I just gave it to you and you just lost it again. You know, it's like, it's never too late. You know, stop with all the negative, you know, even right now you can switch this thing and start moving in the right direction. But you don't need a super epiphany. You don't need a, you know, some kind of a magical moment. You know, the moment could be the next moment, you know, so it's like, start moving towards this direction. And just like we were talking about earlier, you know, when you eat something good, you feel later, you feel good too. So when you do these things, you'll feel it. It's there. It's, you know, it's in your cellular level. So, you know, get moving.
You know, it's like, I just thought of, you know, someone that wants to lose weight. You have to start with day one.
Yeah.
You might have some ups and downs. You're going to fall off the wagon, but you know what your mission is and you're creating it. And with the mindset of creating the positive, and trying to push out the negative. And it all comes in. It's just the practice of clearing the closet. Let's clean it out. Okay. Let's clean it out. Let me get outside. Let me make some changes. It starts with one step at a time, right? My friend Pasquale used to say small sequential steps, sequential steps. You're not going to turn into the Dalai Lama tomorrow, right? Well, is there anything maybe you'd like to share with some students or some little tidbits or anything before we close?
Sure. You know, like even when we first opened up, there was lots of adversity that we faced. You know, in school, we faced adversity because there was a time where every day when we were going to school, there was a little thought in your head that maybe there'll be a lock on the door. You know, that was adversity. Mm-hmm. When I graduated and started up on own practice, you know, the location that we were in wasn't the ideal location, and that was causing adversity. A few years later, there was some issues with the oil pricing and gases were through the roof, and there was adversity. A few years later, the Georgia got flooded really bad, and many of the roads and bridges got flushed away, and there was adversity. And, you know, this coronavirus is just one another series of adversities that is coming your way. And it's a test, you know, it's a, one of my favorite quotes is a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Mm. So, you know, this adversity is where you're going to, you know, really learn to see what you're made of. So I know it's not the funnest thing to say, but, you know, look at this adversity and see how you're reacting. And it's a great test of where you are in your head. And I'll tell you, if you can storm through this one, because there's another one coming afterwards. I mean, you know, there might be a flood the next day, and there might be something else the next day. So adversities are coming. There might be something happening in your family. So adversities are going to happen. There's no way of avoiding adversities. Just like we started, it all depends on what's going on in here. That's what's going to make the difference. You know, some people will be wiped out, and some people will thrive and flourish through this. And hopefully your mindset is right, and you flourish through this, because it's not what, you know, people are making it out to be. You are in the right. You are in the truth. You have a beautiful answer for people that serves their purpose. You have an essential place in the society. So keep on keeping on. The truth that you know is the truth. Stay with it. You know, surround yourself with people like Haig and other people that are helping you move in the right direction. These are the people to surround yourself with. They're going to uplift you, because we all have down moments, you know, like there's things happening. And like Haig was talking about, you know, the next patient can throw you off, you know, and those things are going to happen. Or in your case, maybe the next podcast or the next thing on your Facebook could throw you off. And you have to be ready for it. You have to have your mindset, the shield up strong enough so you can plow through this thing. So, you know, I'm with you. I'm here. You know, any way I can help, you know, I know Haig has tons of resources for you guys. We are here for you. We want to serve this thing together. You know, I don't look at ourselves as generals. I look at ourselves as soldiers in the trenches. So, you know, if you're in the trenches with us, you know, reach out to us. We would love to help. That only helps us serve our purpose bigger. But, you know, I know Haig doesn't make any money or doesn't benefit financially from doing all these things, But that's because he sees the bigger picture. He sees that this is not just like about a physical exchange, but there's much something much, much bigger taking place. So hold on to this stuff. It'll take you for a great ride, and it's going to be an amazing, abundant life, and I'm excited for you guys for that. So thank you for listening to me. I appreciate all you're doing, and thank you very much.
Well, Wace, I mean, we could have just had that part, I mean, in this whole podcast. I appreciate you. Thank you very much. This has been an amazing experience with you. I've gotten a lot out of it. I'm excited to get back into the office, and I love and appreciate you, brother.
Love and appreciate you too, brother. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And thank you, everybody, for joining in. And we will continue to have amazing guests on. I'm working right now of the men and women that we went through this time at life, and who have been people that inspire me and will bring inspiration to you, and have also inspired tens of thousands. And Dr. Awais Butt, I really appreciate you, and I love you, brother. All right.
Love you too. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you.